Would you turn your Bible to Exodus chapter 32? Exodus 32. And we will start. I will butcher this name, this thing. Fibrodysplasia ossificans and progressiva. Close enough. It's known as a POF disease. It makes a human body stiff as a board and trap the person inside of his or her own stiffened body like a prisoner. And patients get to have a stiff neck, bent spine, and fixed elbow and knees in 90 degrees, and the patient become bedbound. And some of you are thinking, well, my spine is feel like a bent, my neck is a stiff. Well, that's a Green Valley syndrome. It's so nothing to do with this disease. As tragic as this physical disease, we find many tragic diseases many people have in the Bible. This disease does not harden the bodies of the people, rather their hearts. It may not stiffen one's neck physically, but it stiffened their will against God. We all have been caught in this disease once or more than once in our lifetime. And some of you might still have that disease. And you are fighting against the will of God. We often stiffen our will against God as if we can fight against Him and win. What do you think? You're going to win, or what do you think? No, we don't win against God. In French, there is the saying says a fat chance. Okay? You're not going to win against God. Whenever we argue with God, remember what I taught you. We are wrong. Whenever we are against the word of God, we are wrong. So give it up. It is so mind-boggling about this that the Hebrew people had a first-hand experience when it comes to the miracles. They were sitting in the front row of the miracle gallery, and they were seeing the God's miracle one after another. While they're in Egypt, they watched this miracle happening, a plague after plague, 10 plagues happened in Egypt and destroyed the entire country. Then when they left, from the moment they left, they were protected by the God. And when they were hungry, God provided them manna. When they are thirsty, God brought the rock that gushing out the water and followed them around by now for a year. But yet, they still turned against God. Miracle doesn't mean anything. So some people say, well, if I see a miracle, I will follow. No, it doesn't mean anything. How many people saw the miracle of Jesus? And they said, crucify him. It is my earnest desire and prayer that all of us from this, learn from this Israelite sin that we may never harden our heart and stiffen our necks against our Lord. Let's stop and pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you with all of our heart and mind and soul in our congregation. The work of your mighty hand are great. Your work is honorable and gracious, and your righteousness endures forever. You are gracious and full of compassion. Today, when we hear your voice, you're willing we will not harden our heart in rebellion. Please open our heart and anoint them by the mighty power of the Holy Spirit. And with the same Holy Spirit's power, Father, we are asking you to anoint the one who speaks, that he may only speak your word, not his opinion. And Father, now we pray for them, pray against this COVID. Father, we pray that you, willing, you remove this virus from the face of the earth. And we pray for Biden administrations, all those people, they may come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that they may do what is right in your sight, not fighting against you. And now we pray for them, our military personnel and law enforcement personnel and firefighters. Wherever they are, Father, we're asking you to protect them and keep them safe. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 32 in the book of Exodus, please. Now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, "Come, make us gods that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." And Aaron said to them, "Break up your golden earrings which are in the ear of your wives, your sons, your daughters, and bring them to me." So all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molded calf. Then he said, "This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt." So when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. Aaron made a proclamation and said, "Tomorrow is the feast to the Lord." Then they rose early on the next day, offered the burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Stop there, please. When Moses was around in the camp, Israelite people rebelled against him. They could not get along with him. And they hated him, actually. But now, he is out of the sight, out of the camp, up in the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. Now they are panicking. This unreasonable fear spread throughout the camp, and like a contaminated disease. And they start to conclude that they had to do something. Have you ever done that? You pray to God, you could not wait for God, so you decide to do something. Run ahead of God only to find out you are doing wrong things. So it's much like us. Those people and we are not much different. We think that God is in Amazon Prime. You order something, it should be delivered next day or on second day. God is not in the business of answering like you order something and he will have to deliver it to you. What we don't know is that God's delay for our prayer is his ordained delay. Let me say one more time. God's delay for our prayer is his ordained delay. To grow us in Christ and deepen our perseverance in following him. Let's go to Romans chapter 5, please. Romans 5, verse 3. "And not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." If you remember, this Israelite promised to obey God whatever he says, didn't he? Didn't they? How many times? They did 3 times while they were staying in the Mount Sinai. But God knew that those promises were nothing more than lip service. Where's the proof? Golden calf. They were told not to do that kind of thing, but they did. Regardless of what they promised to the Lord, by making the golden calf and indulging in sexual orgy, that they broke the Ten Commandments in 3 pieces. First one is that you shall have no other God before me in Exodus chapter 20 verse 3. And you shall not make yourself a carved image, Exodus 24. And 7th commandment they also broke, that you shall not commit adultery, Exodus 20:14. Let's continue in verse 7 of chapter 32 in Exodus. "And the Lord said to Moses, 'Go get down, for your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupt themselves.'" Husband and wives, have you ever done that? When your kid is causing problems and all of a sudden you start to say, "Your child," right? I've done that. I look at my wife, "Your daughter." She gave me that glare that only wife can give, right? Husband, you know what I'm talking about? Nod your head now. verse 8, they have turned aside quickly out of the way which I command them. They have made themselves a molded calf and worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, this is your God, O Israel, that have brought you out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said to Moses, I have seen these people, and indeed it is a stiff-necked people. Therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them. I will make of you a great nation. Then Moses pleaded with the Lord his God, and said, Lord, why does your wrath burn hard against your people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians speak and say, he brought them out to harm them and to kill them in the mountains to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce wrath and relent from this harm to your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, also known as Jacob, your servant, to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven. All this land that I have spoken of, I give to your descendant, and they shall inherit it forever. So the Lord, note that word, relented from harm which he said he would do to his people. Stop, please. Listen. Fear travels fast. Am I correct? Fear travels fast. Once the fear sets in the heart of the people, three things happen. First thing is overreaction. Without the fact and figures, the people start to overreact with all these what ifs. They haven't seen anything yet, but they decided it's what if this happened, what if that happened. And then gossip will be rampant. Of course, people believe gossip over the truth. Second thing is stubbornness. Once people start to believe in gossip over the truth, they become stubborn and they don't listen to the truth and become unreasonable. Third thing is distrusting God. Between the overreaction and the stubbornness, they don't have a room for trusting the Lord. Whatever the Lord says in his word pretty much fall in the deaf ear. The Lord has proven them his faithfulness, as I mentioned, day after day, miracle after miracle. But somehow, what the Lord said didn't mean anything to their stubborn hearts and stubborn and hardened heart. Exodus happened about 1500 B.C. So you add another 2,000 years. Now it comes, the difference is 3,500 years. We are no different than them. We laugh at them because they worship this golden calf. All right, we may not worship the farm animal, but some of us worship someone or something in our heart. And you may say, well, I don't. Do you put something else before God? Let me ask you this. In your heart, answer me. Do you put something before God? What is more important to you, God or that thing or that person? If that person or the things come before you, then you have idol. It can be yourself. It can be your spouse. It can be your children. It can be your job or bank account or whatever that is. Think about it. God has blessed us with one blessing after another. He has the sun to rise every morning and keep our heart beating regularly, allowed us to live in this great country. But when all of a sudden the problem comes, fear arrests us and we tend to run to everything and everyone except God. I'm sure you heard. There's nothing else for us to do except what? Pray. How about pray first? What a noble concept, right? In other words, we start to make a modern-day golden calf to worship instead of one true God. And that is a hardened heart and a stiff-necked God hates. hardened heart and stiff-necked people, according to the Bible, don't care about the right or wrong. They don't care about honoring God with their lives, whether it's marriage or the job or anything else. They wouldn't hesitate for 1 second when it comes to sinning against God once their heart is hardened. Do you know that hardened heart and stiff neck not only ruin the individual's life, but also the family lives as well? And that's how the divorce starts, even among the Christians. Christian divorce rate should be much lower than the unbelievers, right? They're about the same. I dealt with many people. They said, well, I have this problem, so I need to divorce. Even though it's a unbiblical reason. They said, well, we fell out of love. No wonder you have a problem. Because you fell in love, you fall out of love. How about commitment? Remember, you swore that in front of many witnesses, until death do us part. You haven't died, you haven't dead yet, right? That means you are still in marriage. Unless there is a biblical divorce, guess what? You're stuck with that person. Deal with it. I'm sure you haven't heard the preacher saying that way, but that's the truth, isn't it? Folks, emotion goes in and out. One time you love that person, next moment you wake up in the morning and you're thinking, why did I ever marry to this thing? I love the way Billy Graham's wife said, I've never thought about divorce. Murder? Yes. I'm sure my wife thought about the murder many, many times. She's gracious not to do yet. Yet. Folks, don't be hardened, don't have a hardened heart, stiff neck. It just doesn't ruin your life. It will ruin others. Another thing is, from here, when I give an altar call at the end of the service, I do that many times, right? I can see some of the people in my heart. I don't know how I know, but I just know that person is not saved. But that person hear my presentation regarding the good news, they walk right at the door. Some people have a lot of callous in their hands, right? Because the skin become hardened. Do you know your heart can be calloused? Whenever you reject the word of God, time after time, your heart is calloused. If you say no to God's word now, next time it will be easier to say no. Pretty soon you will not hear from Him. You will come, if you are not a born again Christian, you will come to the point where you will not turn around to come to Him. I'm going to do a funeral service in May 15th, on Saturday, for a parent, for the son of the parent. That son does not live here. He lives in Oceanside, California, and he attends Calvary Chapel there. He witnessed to his father and mother for a long time. 3 weeks before his father died, passed away, he accepted Jesus as the Lord and Savior. And 2 weeks after he passed away, his mother passed away as well. Of course, he presented the same gospel to her. She said no to him until the last breath. So here's the father and mother. They lived together. They married together for a long time. Now, eternally separated. One is in heaven, one is in hell. How that happens? Hardened heart, stiff neck. Am I making sense? People will reject loving hands of God until their last moment. Why? Why do they do that? Because pride. Pride gets in the way of God. It means they have hardened heart, stiff neck. Okay, I mentioned about the verse 14, relent. Let's go back to verse 14. So the Lord relented from the harm which he had said he would do to his people. This word, relent, is most, in my opinion, sorriest translated word in the Bible, in all English Bible. Here are four English translations I'm going to show to you. King James. Any of you guys have a King James version? Raise your hand. Okay. Good translation. But it is not perfect translation. Let me show you this. Verse 14 of 32 in Exodus. The Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. Am I correct? And the King James and New King James and NIV, New International Version, both said the Lord relented. Septuagint Bible, that is translated in English, said a little bit better. The Lord was moved with compassion to save his people. Okay, let's go back to the King James Version. The Lord repented of evil. Does it mean the Lord actually sinned? Our God never sinned, does he? Then he is not righteous God. He is not holy God. Am I making sense? He never had an evil thought to change his mind because of our prayer. No, he never has an evil thought or does he ever change his mind. And you may say, well, show me. Okay, I'm glad you asked. Go to Numbers chapter 23, not 32. Numbers 23, verse 19. First service, our congregation said, you got it wrong, preacher. I had to look it up. Verse 19 of chapter 23 in the book of Numbers. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Is it clear enough for you? Has he said, will he not do, and or has he spoken that will he not make it good? In other words, this is one of those lost in translation. From the human point of view, it looks like a God changed his mind. But in his infinite wisdom and sovereignty, God knew this would happen, so he laid it upon the heart of Moses to intercede for the people that God might spare them in gracious response to that intercession. Make sense? Hello? I like your answer. He's awake. God deliberately put Moses into his crucial place of intercession so that Moses would have developed and displayed the heart of God for the people and the heart of love and compassion. Moses prayed just as God wanted him to, as if the heaven and earth and salvation or destruction depend on his prayer. It's not depend on his prayer. It is how God waits for us to do, for us to pray that way. We should not think that Moses was altering God's purpose toward Israel by this prayer, but it was carrying it out. Moses was never more like God than such a moment because he shared God's mind and loving purpose. That is what our intercessory prayer does. Verse 15, please. And Moses turned and went down from the mountain, and the two tablets of testimony were in his hand. The tablets were written on both sides. On the one side, on the other, they were written. Now the tablets were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God engraved on the tablet. When Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said to Moses, "There is a noise of war in the camp." But he said, "This is not the noise of the shout of victory, nor the noise of the cry of defeat, but the sound of singing I hear." So it was, as soon as he came near the camp, he saw the calf and the dancing. So Moses' anger became hot, and he cast the tablet out of his hand and broke them at the foot of the mountain. And he took the calf, which they had made, burned it in the fire, and ground it to powder. He scattered it on the water and made the children of Israel drink it. Okay. Breaking the stone tablet was a symbolic act. The Ten Commandments are broken. What does it mean? This Israelite broke their covenant with God, didn't they? So God is saying, okay, you broke it, it's no use. Listen, Moses ground up the calf and made the people to drink it for three reasons. Number one, to show that this God, the golden calf God, is nothing and could be destroyed easily. Number two, to completely remove the idol. He didn't put it in the storage room. He destroyed it. Number three, to make the people to pay immediate consequences of sin. And some of you are thinking, you mean they had to drink a gold powder drink water? Yes. Wouldn't that be harmful for them? It doesn't matter. They're going to die pretty soon anyway. Why you say is think it's a bad? Because God is going to punish them. Verse 21. Moses said to Aaron, what did these people do to you that you have brought so great sin upon them? So Aaron said, do not let the anger of my Lord become hot. You know the people that they are set on evil. They said to me, make us gods that will go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. So far, he's telling the truth, correct? And I said to them, whoever has any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it to me, and I cast it into the fire. And this calf came out. That's a flat-out lie. You throw the gold, poof, there you go. There's a calf, all engraved. Verse 25. Now, when the Moses saw that the people were unrestrained, for the Aaron had not restrained them, to their shame among their enemies. And Moses stood in the entrance of the camp and said, whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together to him. And he said to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, let every man put his sword on his side and go in and out of from the entrance to entrance throughout the camp. Let every man kill his brother. Let every man his companion. Every man his neighbor. So the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses. About 3,000 men of the people fell that day. Then Moses said, consecrate yourself today to the Lord, and he may bestow on you a blessing this day, for every man has opposed his son and his brother. Stop, please. Before he dealt with the people, Moses confronted Aaron. Because the privilege of the leadership comes with accountability and responsibility. We need to remember that an excuse is a skin of a reason stuffed with a lie. Did you get that? Excuse is a skin of a reason stuffed with a lie. Aaron gave that classic excuse. It just happened. Nothing just happens. His feeble excuse did not convince Moses. There is no greater danger than for the people to cast up all restraint and do whatever they seems right in their own eyes. I'm sure that you have noticed nowadays, everything and anything is go. Transgender, homosexual, bisexual, and with this stupid, in my opinion, it's nothing more than stupid cancel and woke culture. From the injustice courtroom to the adultery of the people's inner room, from the Capitol Hills to the burning street because of riot, everybody's doing whatever pleased them. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, please. Proverbs 14, verse 12. There is a way that seems right to man, but its end is what? Way of death. People think that what they're doing is right. I heard AOC. You guys know AOC? She was promoting this Green New Deal. So the Republican come up with all these facts and figures and the stats. She was mad at them. Because she was confused by these facts and figures. And she think that we should ignore the facts and figures and just go with her Green New Deal. I do have this question though. If everything goes green, just off the subject, no extra charge for this. this Green New Deal, they think that we should not use a petroleum, and like a gasoline or diesel. How are they going to move this 18-wheelers, trucks, with the electricity to, okay, have you ever seen the electricity pump on the street, on the gas station? Behind it, there's a generator that uses gas. Really? Wow, what a concept. God still asks us if we would stand with him. Those who stand with this world will perish with this world. But those who choose to stand with the Lord, in spite of unpopularity, will have eternal life in heaven. Amen? All right, let's go to the verse 30. Let's finish this. Now it came to pass on the next day, Moses said to his people, "We have committed a great sin. You have committed a great sin. So now I will go up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sins." Then Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Oh, these people have committed a great sin, have made themselves a god of gold. Yet now, if you will forgive their sins, but if not, I pray, blot me out of your book, which you have written." Verse 33. And the Lord said to Moses, "Whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book. Now therefore, go, lead the people to the place which I have spoken to you. Behold, my angel shall go before you. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit for punishment, I will visit punishment upon them for their sin." So the Lord plagued the people because of what they did with the calf which Aaron made. The enormous seriousness of their sin, Moses still intervened for them, appealing to the mercy and grace of God. He was identifying himself with them. How many politicians, how many CEOs, how many movie stars or basketball players do you know who would do that on behalf of others? John chapter 15 verse 13 says, "The greater love has no one than this, than the one who lays down one's life for his friend." When a person dies, her name is removed from the book of life. This book of life should not be confused with the Lamb's book of life, which records the name of the saved. You can find in Psalm 69:28, "Let them be blotted out of the Lamb, a book of the living, not be written with the righteousness." I have three applications for you. Number one, let's make sure we remember that ingratitude hardens our hearts to God, but gratitude keep us tender toward him. Let me say one more time. This is important. Ingratitude hardens our hearts to God, but gratitude keep us tender toward him. Second application, let's acknowledge what we have done against God. If you have sinned, confess and repent. Keep your account short with God. Don't say, "Aaron made me to do it." It just happened. Sin does not just happen, folks. Own it up. Until you repent, there won't be a forgiveness. Third application. Let's come to God and give our problem to him in humble prayers. Amen. Let's stand up and pray.